Hi, good evening. We're here to start part two of Jesus is our Passover Lamb. Where we had stopped was point five. The Passover Lamb was to be killed between the ninth hour, which is exactly 3 p.m., the exact time that Jesus is crucifying, fulfilling the actual scriptures. And we've been walking through the scriptures of prophetically showing that Jesus is fulfilling the actual Passover lamb. Jesus did said he didn't come to destroy the Torah or the law, but he came to fulfill it. So Jesus is the total ultimate fulfillment of the book, the law, or the Torah, if you please. If we look at point six, it says that the whole assembly shall kill it, meaning that the whole assembly shall kill the Passover lamb. And we can find that in Exodus 12 and 6. Now, I've heard some people, and I've read even in the past in history, that a lot of people want to blame the Jews for actually putting Jesus to death on the cross. But actually, that is a fallacy. That is an incorrect, that's a false statement, because everybody had a hand, whether it's religious scribes and Pharisees had a hand, Pilate had a hand, Herod had a hand, they all had a hand. So the whole assembly had a hand of killing the Lamb of God. So if we even go over to Luke 23, and if we look at verses 9 through 12, and it says, then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. All right, so the chief priests and the scribes stood and they vehemently accused him. Verse 11, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod was made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. So Pilate and Herod weren't even friends up until this point, of until the scribes and Pharisees had Jesus arrested. They took him over to Herod. Herod sent him over to Pilate. The two became friends. So it shows that being part of this world system, which is Satan is the ruler over the system, all they became friends. They were enemies. They're at enmity. They hated each other. But at that point, Jesus brought them together. So they had a common goal. Let's get rid of this man, because Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus even said that we'd be hated for his name's sake. So you can do as much good as you can to people out in the world, but they'll find some reason to still hate you, because they hated our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he said the same thing is going to happen to us. We have to continue to love, show agape love, but it shows that they became friends. So from past generations of Jews being persecuted, the Spanish Inquisition, we see in Nazi Germany, all these things, especially the Spanish Inquisition, being blamed in the past for killing Christ, which is incorrect. Amen? But even if you go over to Psalms chapter 2, better explains the mentality of Herod and Pilate. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. So the heathen rage, they set themselves up against God's anointed. So we even see this, that Pilate and Herod became friends. They set themselves up against God's anointed. Next point. Point 7. It says, the blood must be applied to the door. Exodus chapter 12, verses 7, 13, and 22. We see also in John 10 and 9 says, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find a pasture. So Jesus is the only door. There's not multiple doors. He's the only doorway for salvation that a person can enter into heaven. You must receive Jesus Christ into your life. You must be born again. You must have the blood applied to you. You must apply the door, the blood to the door. You must apply the blood upon your life. Amen. Point 8. Says the body of the lamb must be eaten. That's Exodus chapter 12, verses 8 and 10. And we also see that in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28, the Last Supper. So we see how Christ is breaking bread. He's given the bread symbolic of his body. He's given the wine symbolic of his blood. And even Jesus had said at one point, I believe over in John, he says, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. So to be part of Jesus, that's why we have communion service. So when you have communion service, you do it as a memorial and remembrance to his death. Amen. You partake of his body, you partake of his blood. Point 9, the Egyptians were spoiled at the Exodus. We see that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 31 through 36. We see how also Jesus spoiled the principalities. If we go over to Colossians 2, verse 15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So we just got through seeing the NBA Finals, and we saw how the Dallas Mavericks went on to the Miami Heat home court with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, thinking that they'll go back to Miami and win. Of course, they're playing on the home court, and we saw how Dallas went, and they beat them on the home court. On game 6, we see exactly Jesus didn't even have home court advantage. Satan had home court advantage because he's the God of this world. But Jesus yet and still openly triumphant over every principality that tried to come up against him, that tried to stop him. He defeated every principality. So he shows that our God is a mighty God. So when we look at even types of shadows, the Egyptians had 10 plagues, and God showed his hand in a mighty way that he is the great I am. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He shows that he's the only true living God when he defeated all these demonic principalities that were showing themselves trying to be idol gods in Egypt. When we look at the first plague was the water turned into blood. That particular god was the god of the Nile, Hapi. But he defeated Hapi by bringing blood into the Nile River, where the Egyptians were scratching their heads like, wait a minute, we're serving Hapi, and what's going on? It's blood in the Nile. It's because God showed his might, the great I am. Second plague, it's the frogs. We see that the frogs came in to the land, and the frogs were overrunning Egypt. And it showed that God was in control of everything. God defeated Heket, which was the god over these particular frogs. Then we see the next god, the third plague. The third plague was dust and lice. We see that this particular god was a god of dust, or the god of the earth was Ged. And we see how God defeated these particular gods. It's like, wait a minute, Pharaoh had all these magicians and all these occultic people trying to huff and puff and do whatever what they were trying to do. And still, God was defeating all these principalities at the same time. Then we see the fourth plague with the flies. The god of insects was Kepher. And we see that God defeated this particular god. He spoiled this principality. Then we see the cattle dying. The god of the cattle was a sacred bull, Apis. So we see all these cattle dying, and God still showing his mighty hand, the great I am, spoiled this principality. Then we see the boils. The musicians couldn't even heal the boils because they were dependent upon the god in Hip-Tip, and the god, which was the god, the physician god, and then the god Tulf, which is the god of magic and healing, they were nowhere to be found. They were nowhere to be found because of the Lord is much more mightier. The word says in 1 John 4:4, greater than he that's in me, than he that is in the world. So we have the greater one. We have the Spirit of God that's dwelling inside us. So the greater one. The seventh plague. Seventh plague is Hel, which was the sky goddess Nut. So we see that this particular principality was spoiled also too. The eighth plague, which was the god of crops, which was Seth. So we see that God even overcame, sent the plague overran circles around this crop god Seth. Then we see darkness come upon Egypt. Nowhere the sun was able to be found. It was the god Ra, the sun god. So God defeated Ra on his home territory. And the last but least, the firstborn being killed. And we show this is where we come to Passover. The blood of the lamb protected the Israelites' home. Where we see that the Egyptians' firstborn were all killed because they didn't have the blood, and they didn't have the great I am. They didn't have the Lord on their side. So even when we go over the last thing with that last principality, Pharaoh being symbolic of Satan, when we go over to Psalms 74, and we'll start at verse 12, and it says, "For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness." So what was drawing Pharaoh's pride, his own pride, brought his destruction. After the firstborn was killed, he couldn't leave well enough alone, where he pursued Moses and the Israelites into the Red Sea. And he was being pulled by the spirit of Leviathan, which is the father of pride, which is Satan, which ended up ultimately bringing his whole army and Pharaoh to destruction. So we see that Jesus openly defeated every principality, every enemy at the cross. When they put him on the cross and they lifted him up, he defeated every enemy. He defeated Satan on his home court, and he won. So if you want to be a winner, you got to receive Jesus Christ into your life. You got to know the power of the blood. The blood comes and removes sin, and also the blood also offers us a hedge of protection. So this is the end of part 2. Look forward to bringing part 3. God bless and have a nice day.